Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. When you sign up for our free InvestTalk Insider program, you have instant access to a whole library of webinars like A Crash Course in Dividend Investing. And there are many, many more titles, all free with your Insider membership. Anybody can sign up for free. Just go to investtalk.com. And now, today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to InvestTalk. It is September 29th, 2016. InvestTalk is here to offer us resources. That's what we hope for. For anyone who wants to learn, we're hoping to teach you to make better choices with your money, no matter what level of knowledge you're at, no matter the depth of your experience. If you're serious about learning more about money and about managing it, then you should feel welcome here. Any questions are welcome. You don't have to be an expert. I'm not into that. You don't have to be a know-it-all. I'm not trying to be a know-it-all. I just want to help. Any money questions you might have. As investors, we need to be aware of the world around us. I wrote in my market commentary a couple of days ago about world trade. Now, this issue is pretty contentious out there. And currently, you realize we're in a currency war, a war where every country wants to make their currency cheaper than every other country's currency, so they can export their way to prosperity. The stupidity of this is that if everybody's doing it, no one's going to benefit. Who's going to suffer eventually for this is the small guy. Now, yes, in a currency war, maybe our products or their products or products being imported here might be cheaper. But in the long run, this is a spiraling downward of economies. You can't have a currency war and think that we're going to come out of it looking smelling like a rose. It's just not going to happen. It's going to hurt the world economy. Look what it's doing to Deutsche Bank. I know Justin's been talking the last couple, 3 days, because I was up in the Bay Area. And look what's happened to Deutsche Bank with this negative interest rates. And, you know, the currency war is killing the banking system in many countries. And you will say, they deserve it, those greedy banks. Okay. But that tells me you don't really understand how economies work. The economies work by the flow of money around the world, around the country, around your state, around your county, the local businessman down the street. He needs money coming in, and then he spends his money, and then everybody spends the money, and the flow of the money is what needs to happen. The faster the flow, the better economic growth. You slow that flow. Where does that money go through? It goes through the banking system. And if the banking system has to squeeze the flow of money, which they do when they are bankrupt or they're not making any money, they squeeze that flow of money, making it harder to grow the economy. It's like grease on the wheels of a car. You want it to run fast. You want it to be reeling, and that means you want the grease to make the money flow. Flow of money. That's the important part for the economies. And if you hurt all the world banks or any banks, yeah, you can hurt some of them. It's okay. It's not, but not systemically all of them, which negative interest rates do. Okay, I don't want to get on a soapbox about that, but that's really what's happening. In my market commentary, I talked about, you know, this issue, you know, and about the trade war and the currency war. Recently, the World Trade Organization found that the EU illegally subsidized Airbus by $22 billion over the years, competing with Boeing. And don't forget, 2 weeks ago, Apple was accused by the EU of underpaying billions of dollars in taxes, even though they complied with all the rules in the country that they were domiciled in Europe. Doesn't matter. We're talking about a trade war, a currency war. That's what it is. Okay, it's not a shooting war, it's a war of economics. And we're not innocent in this war. Don't think we are, we're not. Now, time to time, I point out to you a book that can bolster your economic smarts, How an Economy Grows and Why It Crashes by Peter Schiff. It's one of the books we picked to be in our recommended book section on investtalk.com. How an Economy Grows and Why It Crashes. It's a good book. You might want to take a look at it. You'll find it in the recommended book section at investtalk.com. So how can, and I don't get anything for this, everybody. I'm just recommending books I think are really educational. Okay, so how can I help you today? Do you want to talk more about world trade? And this has become a political hot potato, as you know, the elections. So I don't want to approach it from a political point of view. I'm just talking about economics for you and me and how we can make money in the stock market, how we had to protect our own family wealth and grow it. That's how I want to talk about it. I don't care about, you know, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. It doesn't matter to me. I just want to grow our money. But you got to be aware of politics because they will affect stocks. They do. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. I'm live right now. 888-99-CHART is my anytime number. And let's talk to Cole in Michigan. How you doing, Cole?
Good, Steve. How are you?
Thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. The question I have is, and this is in the context of IRA, about 12 years out from retirement.
Okay.
I owned EMC. They got bought by Dell. And now I have this kind of weird stock, which is called a Class V stock, which is DVMT.
Right.
There isn't a whole lot of history when you look at it in FinViz. So I'm like, do I hold on to it? Do I get rid of it?
That's always...
And I'm not quite...
Yeah. It's always hard when you have something like this. And I will tell you this, Cole, my first reaction on any buyout is to sell a stock. Why is that my first reaction? Usually because when stock A buys stock B or announces stock A buying stock B, the stock price goes up to where it's going to go. Now you have a combined company. And, you know, this is DVMT, Dell Technologies, manufactures, market sales, supports, and a wide range of products and services to customers. It's a $19 billion company, but we have very little history on this particular company, so we had to look at all the other parts. But Cole, looking at all those other parts is very difficult after you have a merger because they don't report separately necessarily. You don't know exactly what's going on, who's getting laid off, who is the good man. So Cole, my recommendation is just get out.
Okay.
Just get out. It's too hard.
All right, thank you.
Okay, I appreciate the call, Cole. It's just too hard to figure out. You know, you bought a company, you did research on, and then all of a sudden it's not that same company anymore, right? Now what? Well, this is the issue. You and I aren't in the business to ferret out all the financials, all the ins and outs, the little secret deals, all the things that are happening, how the accounting is being processed. We're not smart enough. That's not our area of expertise. And that's why I say, look, get out. Remember Warren Buffett? He says, buy what you know. Well, you don't know what's going on with this. So we don't know. We don't know exactly. And yeah, it could take off and be great. And it could crash. My point of view is go find something that you know more about. To profit, think like a Wall Street trader. That's one of our talking points today. To profit, think like a Wall Street trader. What does that mean? Well, we're going to discuss it. The tech sector. I want to talk about the tech sector and its weightings of the S&P 500. Have you been watching that at all? Excuse me. Soaring exports. We have a certain thing that is, we are exporting like gangbusters. You know what it is? We're going to discuss what that export is and how that's going to affect possibly our GDP. Morgan Stanley, chief economist, says the Fed is propping up stocks. Well, is that a big surprise? But I want to talk about what he is actually saying and some of the statistics that he's claiming that it has affected the market, which is kind of astounding, actually. And, you know, it kind of mirrors what Trump was saying. I'm just saying he's mirroring what Trump was saying about a bubble. But no one knows if we're in a bubble. No one. You know how you know you're in a bubble? When you get to look back and say, that was a bubble. That's how you know. When you're in it, if you think you're in a bubble and you say you're in a bubble, you say, hey, I think we're in a bubble right now, usually you're not in a bubble. Did you know that? Because bubbles bubbles usually grow with everybody not suspecting it as a bubble, like the dot-com, like the housing market. So usually, everybody suspends belief, and that's the problem. It's very hard to find that out. So those are things we're going to talk about. Of course, you come first. What's on your mind? Justin and I are excited about a new service that will be available to our clients and many of our listeners. It's called My 401k. We've been trying to figure out a way for years now trying to help people with their 401k. And I think we came up with a pretty good solution. It enables employees to make smarter choices within your employees' 401k. So over the next few days, we'll be telling you more about it. If you'd like to take a sneak peek, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Investments tab. And then My 401k.
Hello, Steve. My name is Ray. I have a question on Dave & Buster's, symbol PLAY, P-L-A-Y. I wanted to know the entry point and good support for this stock and the valuation. What do you think about this stock? Thank you.
Okay, this is Dave & Buster's Entertainment. I'm sure most people know what that is. It operates 81 restaurants in 30 states. Well, maybe not most people, but a lot of people do. It's not just a restaurant. It's an entertainment kind of place to be, if you've ever been to one, you'll know what I'm talking about. They are going to make $1.93 this year. That's 27% higher than last year. And then $2.23 next year. That's another 16%. It's growing about 12 to 15% per quarter in sales. Pretty darn good, and it's recently been coming down for the last 2 months. It hit a high of 49, and now it's 37. So what we're seeing here is starting to look like a good value play, and I like that. I do like that. So you wanted a good entry point. Well, looks like it's about in the about 36. Here it is at $37.84. So maybe about 36, 37, and it's right there. That's the one. But you got to wait because it's been falling. You got to wait till it turns sideways. But this could be where it'll cease going down. It's getting very close. A really, really strong entry point is $31, $32, right in that area. That's a really strong entry point. If it goes down there, then starts to recover, that I would feel much more comfortable. Remember, it's a $37 stock, going to make $223 next year. So that tells you that, it's at a pretty good value. The 5-year PE range is 20 to 47, and based on next year's earnings, the stock is, probably around, 16, 17, 18 PE. So it's lower than its 5-year average. Return on equity is 21%, not too much debt. It's got a lot of good things going for it. So, yeah, this is one you could pick up, but you got to wait till it stops falling and starts to recover a little bit. Okay? Dave & Buster's, the symbol is PLAY. PLAY. Kind of interesting play. Let's see. What we're talking about, we're going to talk about to profit in the market, think like a Wall Street trader. That's going to be our main talking point. I don't want to get to that when we come back. We're going to have to, I don't want to shortchange that topic. I enjoyed my 2 days in the Bay Area, by the way. I was in San Ramon and San Jose in the last couple of days visiting some friendly folks, people I really enjoy visiting with. I really enjoy those meetings. It's kind of fun. I get to talk to a lot of different people. And I set aside several hours each month for portfolio reviews via telephone and Skype. So to get yourself on the calendar, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab or call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. That's all you have to do. We'll look forward to talking to you. 888-992-4278. We're going to go talk to Mike in San Jose. How you doing, Mike? You want to talk about GDX, huh?
Yes, Steve. I was wondering, do you still like the gold miners, or what's your opinion?
I do. I know. I realize that they've been kind of on the weak side for a bit, and I'm okay with that. I think, as I said before, I think we're going to get one more run, and it looks like to me they're trying. It's a triangle formation, a pattern. But it looks like to me it's trying to find support right in this $25, $26 area. It's at $26.69. Everybody, GDX is the ETF, exchange traded fund seeking the performance corresponding to the New York Stock Exchange Arca Gold Miners Index. So it's a gold miners. It's had a very good run since the beginning of the year, and it's now been sideways for the last month and a half, 2 months. So, yeah, Mike, I think we're going to get another run. It's really, you want to keep an eye on the dollar, because it's kind of, if the dollar keeps going up, it's going to have a hard time because they've been linked recently. But if you look at the dollar and compare it with the gold miners, look at the dollar since the beginning of the year. It fell, bottomed in May, and now it's been kind of choppy ever since. And the gold miners went up all up until July, August. Now that's going sideways. So I still think we got one more run, Mike, and the gold miners.
Great. Thank you.
Appreciate the call. And, of course, I reserve the right to be totally wrong. Why do I think we get one more run? Well, because I think the market is still overvalued. I don't like that we're going to have this quarter two. It's going to be another sixth quarter in a row where the earnings for the S&P 500 have gone down. What's supporting the market? What is going to make it run up? What? Well, it's been money, just a flood of money. Not because of the fundamentals of the economy and the stocks, because the earnings have been going down for the stocks, corporations. So it can't be that. So what's keeping it up? It's a flood of money. Think about if you're in Germany or Japan, would you want to move your money outside your country because your bank is paying you? You have to pay money for your bank to hold your money? I mean, why would you do that? Why don't you come to the United States where you can, if you bought the same bond in U.S. Treasury, you'll make 2% instead of having to pay a fraction to own it. Doesn't make sense. So I think that's why. I think that's why we may have one more run. That's one of the reasons, anyways. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So to profit in the markets, think like a Wall Street trader. It's an article that you can read up on our website, the main talking point today. And what is the point of this article, which is quite interesting, you know how everybody wants to buy something, buy ETS, buy a dividend paying stock, buy this bond, buy this stock, on. It's always buy. Who do you think is selling to you? Who's on the other side of that trade? Who is trying to come up with more and more different kinds of ETFs to sell them to you? Selling these things. It's Wall Street. It's the big banks. They make fortunes by selling to you. Now, I'm not suggesting that you sell short the market or you do something different. What you really want to think about is when you're buying a stock, there's somebody on the other side of that trade selling it. They have a valid reason to sell it to you. You think you have a valid reason to buy it. One of you is wrong, right? One of you is wrong. And you have to ask yourself, well, who am I buying from? Am I buying from just another person like myself who doesn't know what they're doing? Or am I buying from Wall Street experts who do have knowledge of what they're doing? Investors and traders. Now, at the same time, if you're talking about economists, I always tell you the experts are always wrong. If you're talking about trying to predict the market, experts are always wrong. That's what makes this so difficult. You can't, and that's why I suggest do your own homework, because you can do just as well in many instances. Just keep it simple. You got to do the work, but keep it simple, and you'll be fine. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. And I know that Justin has been talking about Deutsche Bank, and it is a problem. This could be a big problem. It could develop into a big problem. So it's something we all need to watch. Hello, I am 40. This is a text message that came in. Hello, I am 40 years old. Would you recommend index funds, e.g. S&P 500, or mutual funds for retirement? Or would you advise doing both if possible? Thank you, and it's from Suzette. If you're in retirement, it depends. If you're going to do an index funds, there's nothing wrong with index funds. Nothing wrong at all. But if you need the money and you're in retirement, you may want to take less risk than these index funds and mutual funds. Less risk than they have. And how do you do that? Well, there's ways to reduce your exposure and risk in those funds. And I'm not just saying go to cash or put it in money market, but you know, there's nothing wrong with indexing, but that's a long-term game. That's a game that is long-term. In other words, you just don't do it for a year or 2 years or 3 years. You got to do it for 10 years, 15 years, and it'll work out. If you can't afford to lose your nest egg over the next few years because you're in retirement, you need it, you need to start spending it, then you need to take less risk. And Suzette, if you need to take less risk, the index funds are not the way to take less risk. We're open to your money questions and comments at 888-99-CHART. That's how you can get through right now.
We'll continue with our Invest Talk podcast. It's kind of an unusual podcast in that you can call and talk with the hosts and be part of it. Invest Talk is produced every weekday from 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific time. If you call then, you can talk live with Steve and Justin, 888-99-CHART. You're listening to Invest Talk for Thursday, September 29th. On the next Invest Talk, it's important to know the pros and cons before making this decision, deciding whether to roll over a 401k to an IRA. That's tomorrow. What's your question today? 888-99-CHART is how to reach us from anywhere in the USA.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Eric Foy from Southern Utah. Had a question about what your thoughts were on ticker symbol GEUR. This is the Advisor Shares Gartman Gold Euro ETF. Interested in your thoughts on investing in this for long term, with it being backed by the euro as opposed to the being valued by the U.S. dollar. So anyway, I'd love to hear your thoughts, and I will listen on the next show. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
And it's an interesting play. If you think about it, exchange-traded fund investing in assets in the gold market by utilizing the European Union's euro. Now, why is that interesting? Because it's not buying it in U.S. dollars. So what is going to affect? And you just heard me tell you, keep an eye on the dollar, because you know, if dollar goes down, gold will probably go up. Dollar goes up, gold will probably go down. Well, the euro is the same thing. If the euro gets stronger, gold, this would probably go down. If the euro gets weak because the economies are tanking or whatever is happening in Europe, this will likely go up. Now, remember, gold can go its own direction, too. It doesn't have to be tied to a particular currency. It's not lockstep with the currency. It just tends to do that. So if you think the currency, the euro currency, if you think it's going to get weaker going forward, and it very well might with the things going on we see, then this would probably work better than GDX, which is this, you know, which is the gold mining company, but they buy that in dollars. Now, if you'll notice, this also went up. Since January, this ETF, GEUR, like GDX, it went up. But look at the percentage difference. Okay, in January, this was at like $11, and now it's at $13.60. Okay, think about the percentage that is. 11 to 13.60, what is that, 30%? Now let's go look at GDX from January. It was trading at about $13, and today it's $26. Double, 100% up. 30%, 100%. See how that's different? It's what I like about GDX, by the way. Anyways, it's just kind of interesting, interesting take. The Advisors Gold Euro, GEUR versus GDX. You decide what you want to do. The tech sector. Okay, the tech sector, long. Okay, you know what the S&P 500 has, all the sectors made up of the S&P 500. The tech sector dominates. It dominates the S&P 500, being 21% of it. Okay, and that level hasn't been reached since 1990. Now, in 2000, 1990, let me take that back. It now is 21.28%. The S&P 500, the tech sector represents 21.28%, and that's a 15-year high. Because back in 2000, the tech sector represented 35% of the S&P 500. Now, the next highest sector is healthcare at 14.84%. And tech has gone up 12% in this most recent quarter, whereas the S&P 500 only went up 2.5% in this third quarter. Why am I bringing this up? Because it just feels like, it feels like tech is becoming too dominant in the S&P 500. And is it because the prices have gone up? Is that why? Or as the prices of the other sectors just not performed at all? And therefore, the weighting of the tech sector increased because of those prices going down. I think it's kind of revealing a little bit. I mean, it's been 15 years, has been this high. What is the long-term average of the tech sector and S&P 500? Because I always like to refer to, well, what is normal? And it's 15.24% over the last 30, 40 years. 15%, and it's at 21. So what happens when it reverts? Two things going to happen. One is the tech sector collapses and it reverts back down, or the other sectors increase and it reverts back down. It's a relationship, so it's got to be something, one or the other, or a combination of both. Don't know. I don't know if I brought up what happened in the market today. The Dow was down 196, the Nasdaq was down 49, and the S&P was down 20 today. 196 giving back a lot of the little bit of gains we've had in the last week or so. So not a pleasant thing. Not pleasant. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Well, we're probably going to have to deal with some more volatility as the candidates for presidencies keep taking shots at each other. And I think we're just going to have to get used to it. I do. But as long as the money is flowing in with central banks being very loose, it's hard to see the market crashing. It really is. Yeah, you can have corrections, but it's hard to see it crash as long as money is loose and we mean the U.S., is still decently growing our GDP number. Now, some people think we're going to have a lot of more growth coming into third and fourth quarter. Well, we're ending the third quarter tomorrow, and I don't think so. Some people are saying we're going to get about 3%. The experts, about 3% third quarter GDP, I'm hoping for closer to 2 to 2.5, maybe. That's my gut feeling that that's what we're going to see. Part of the reason some people think we're going to have a much better GDP is because of soaring exports in soybeans the last couple of months. I mean, we're talking about a tripling of exports, $5.2 billion tripled in July. And we're not sure about August yet. We don't have that number. But in July, tripled. Why did that happen? Well, there's a lot more demand coming from China. And other producers, such as Brazil and Argentina, had very disappointing crops. So our soybean farmers are having a heyday right now. And remember, exports add to our GDP, whereas imports take away from our GDP. So if we have more and more exports, that's really good for our economy. And some think that this is such a big number that it might add maybe 1% to the GDP number until the end of the year. Well, I don't know if that's wishful thinking. I just don't know. A real estate agent can cost or save you thousands of dollars. There is a lot at stake. So take a look at the new InvestTalk Insider info sheet. What makes you different? Why should I list my home with you? What are your marketing plans for my home? Those are all important questions. We have a list of 10 of those questions, 10 of those types of questions for you as an InvestTalk Insider. You can sign up today for free on investtalk.com.
Every money question is important.
Maybe you've got a question about real estate. The number is always open, 888-99-CHART.
I have a two-part question. I currently have approximately $200,000 in a traditional IRA account in a money market, yielding approximately 5%. Want to start investing that money, but don't know if I should dollar cost the average into the market over time or just invest it in all one fell swoop. Basically, I won't want to invest it in mutual funds of some sort, basically growth stocks. You know, I've got an appropriate portfolio for a 43-year-old male. The second part of the question is, the money is currently in a traditional IRA, as I stated. Should I start rolling over portions of that money into a Roth IRA? That's it. Thank you.
Well, two questions. 43, so that the IRA, Roth IRA question is pretty valid. But he said he's making currently 5% in CDs that he has, certificates of deposits. If that's what I heard him say, that's a very good rate. You must have bought those way long time ago, because you haven't been able to get those kind of rates in years. So, as they come due, you're not going to get anywhere near that number. So, yeah, you're going to have to roll it into something else that will produce you some money. But CDs are extremely conservative. So are you roll them into the market, now you're upping your risk factor tremendously. Maybe you should at 43 years old, but maybe you don't feel comfortable doing it at 43 years old. That's something, you really should talk to me or somebody about what kind of risk you're going to be taking. At 43, it would be very nice to have a Roth, yes. I don't know if I would recommend taking money out of the regular IRA to put in a Roth, because every dime you take out of that regular IRA to put it in that Roth, you have to add to your adjusted gross income. And you got to pay income tax on it. Remember, you didn't pay income tax on it when you put it in. But taking it out, you're going to have a regular IRA. You got to pay income tax on that. So what's your tax bracket? If you're in a very low tax bracket, I think it would be a no-brainer. Yeah, you can do that. Or you can just open up a Roth IRA and start funding it with regular earned money, not roll over your IRA at all. So these are all very good questions and things you need to explore, and what is the best tax situation for you individually. And I can't answer that without knowing more about you. What is your tax bracket? Are you married, single? Got a lot of debt? Got any credit card debt? Stuff I need to know to help you with a better answer, really. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So what's on your mind? Be happy to talk to you about anything financial. Let's go to Fahim in San Jose. How you doing, Fahim?
I'm good, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm good. I appreciate the call.
I had a question around 401k.
Uh-huh.
My company offers, as part of the 401k, they offer an after-tax option. I've already maxed out my pre-tax 401k, that is the 18,000 limit.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted your advice on whether it makes sense to try and max out the after-tax 401k versus other options down the line.
I would say, and this is a personal thing, Fahim, I would say no, and this is why. You have to keep track of the money that you're putting in after you maxed out your 401k. And you have to keep track of that money all the way until you start taking it out, 65, whatever year you're going to take it out. Because the IRS will ask questions way down there. Well, how do they know this was, after tax money or before tax money? You see what I'm saying? They don't know that. They don't keep track of it. You have to keep track of it. And as the years go by, what if you change jobs and you roll over the 401k? What if you do that twice? What if you roll it over to an IRA? Things happen over the years. Are you going to have... And what if they want proof that you did that? How are you going to prove that? You can, because you can get that document the year you do it. But then you got to hold on to those documents. How old are you, Fahim? What's your age?
37.
Okay, so you got to do all, for next 28 years or whatever, 25, 59, half, you got to keep track of that. And I would rather see you just put it in a regular account, and just then you don't have to worry about it. Open up an E-Trade or Scott Trade or something else, you know, and just manage it that way instead of mixing it in here with your 401k. It makes life very difficult for him. I wouldn't do it.
Ah, thank you. So I was looking at this as a way of getting an Roth IRA working because I'm not able to go for a Roth IRA given the constraints around that.
Right. Yeah, I would love to have you have a Roth IRA because you're young enough to make that worthwhile. But maybe next year you can put a little bit less in your 401k and put money in your Roth IRA. See, there's rules. I hate to talk about this because the rules change every year, it seems like. And it depends on how much money you make, you know, because you might make too much money and you're not able to do it. But I would love to see you get into a Roth. I really do, because you're young enough that that will benefit you greatly over the years.
So an after-tax 401k would not roll over to a Roth IRA once I change jobs?
I don't think so. Well, you could. You could roll over, but I don't know the rules if you could roll over the whole thing, or are you subject to a limitation, like they, you know, you're limited every year how much you could put in a Roth, or, you know, and it depends on your income level. So I wish I could answer that question, but I'm afraid to answer if I am, because I'm not an accountant. Okay?
Sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I would love to see you get into a Roth, though. I think it's a good idea. I really do. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. I definitely want to talk about Morgan Stanley's chief economist, okay, and what he said about the Federal Reserve and what they're doing. I think it's going to be very interesting to talk about what their opinion is, what his opinion is. Now, remember, he's an expert, and all experts are always wrong, but it's always a degree. You know, some of them much closer to the right answer than others. So you just take it. You know what I do? I listen to everybody. I try to get a good range of opinions so that I don't rely on any one opinion, because that's where the danger lies. If you decide in your mind a certain set of facts, if you think in your mind that this is the truth, and you don't open your mind up to other people's influence, you're gonna lose money in this business. You cannot be positive about anything. You can't. You can use probabilities. You can use the odds. You know, those fine. But don't get married to something. Like, this is definitely going to be true. As soon as I hear those, nope. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. So what's your question? Topic is your money. Give us a call, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Justin. This is Bruce from New York. I would like some advice on a mutual fund. After 2 years, I have a decent gain in the Fidelity Large Cap Stock symbol FLCSX. That would be Frank, Larry, Cat, Sam, X-Ray. It's up a little bit due to the pop in technology and oil stocks. And I was wondering what the charts would tell you what would be a decent sales price. Thanks very much. Have a great day.
And this is the Fidelity Large Cap Stock Fund. So you're talking about large company stocks. And you're right. You've analyzed it correctly as to what's driven it. I think you get out now, if it's my personal opinion. But see, it depends on you. Are you a long-term investor? If you are, you just hold on to it forever. But I think it's topping. It had trouble. It's having trouble here for the last month getting any higher. And at the last 2 months, and I'm going to talk technical here, everybody. The last 2 months, the MACD, which is the moving average of a convergence, divergence, and I'm using the 12-26-9 moving averages, has been pointing downward for 2 months. So it started to point downward at the it's topped at the MACD did in July, and the stock itself, the mutual fund itself, topped in the beginning of September. So it's been this tells me that it's having there's less confidence by the buyers, you know. So I think if you could use the short-term moving average as you're out there, maybe the 50-day moving average. If it breaks below that, and that's right now about 2760, and the stock is at 2778, so it's real close. If it breaks below that with any kind of strength, I'd get out. How about that? You can use that as a trigger for yourself. That's, if you're a long-term holder, it's a really good fund to hold on to long-term. It tracks the biggest companies on the stock market. They won't go out of business. And when it does make a correction or fall, you buy more. For instance, it was at $22 in January when the market fell. It was $22. Now it's $27. Goes back to $22, you buy more. You see? Or you sell now, wait till it goes back to $22, $23, $24, buy it back. But then now you're getting capital gains, and now you're tying in the market, and that's very difficult. You know, all those things. If you're a long-term investor, just hold it and be happy. Morgan Stanley, the chief economist, says the Fed is propping up stocks by maintaining low risks. He says 60% of the stock market move up since 2008 is all due to the Fed. 60% of the move up. The market, he says, is reflecting the Fed announcements when they decide to up and down, increase QE, all those things that they are talking about. Every time they announce something that they do, market pops. And that pop represents 60% of the gain. Instead of, so the market is reflecting what the Fed is saying and doing, instead of reflecting the vitality of the overall economy. Does that sound familiar? Stock market is going up and holding up because of money flooding into the stock market, not the economy. Economy is not that strong. Why would the market stay up if you have six quarters in a row with reducing earnings for the S&P 500? Why would it stay up? So the PE is going up when the E is going down. Those of you who are not in the business, have been in the business for years, that's not sustainable. The E has to turn around. If the E does not turn around, how long in quarters can you go with that happening? And I don't have the answer for you. There's no clear-cut answer as to how that's going to work and how it can go up, you know, earnings going down and how long they can go down with the market going up, because it's all driven by cash flow. The market is, you have a buyer and a seller. If you have more money, people have more money in their pocket and know what to do with, and they need to put it somewhere, the market's going up. And certainly it's going into CDs and savings account, not with the low interest rates we have. And they're low interest rates because of the Fed. Our time is up for this hour. I want to remind you to take a look at how a new service can help you, the 401k participants, all you people that have 401ks, all of you. If you're having trouble with knowing what to buy, what not to buy, how to work it, well, take a look at our new 401k solution. It's called My 401k, and it's on the investments tab on investtalk.com. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein, everybody at KPP, thank you for listening today, and we'll do it again tomorrow. I hope you'll be there.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.